Alrighty, take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 27, if you would. Book of Acts, chapter 27. You know, a lot of Christians have the idea that when they do get saved, when they're born again, that everything from then on is going to be just great and rosy and just a wonderful blessing every day, everything positive, happy and joyful, shouldn't have any problems. And they start to learn about the will of God, that there is going to be blessings in the will of God, and that's true, but that's not all of the truth. If they're going through problems and so forth, they kind of use those problems, trials, as a measuring stick. Measuring stick to gauge whether you're in the will of God or not. And they can become confused when all of a sudden they find themselves in problems and trials and sometimes catastrophes. People dying, hospitals, and everything else. And they kind of get the idea, well, boy, I must not be in the will of God. All these things happening like this. And as well, Christians look on at other people and they kind of judge them. Oh, well, you see all these bad things happening to them. Boy, they must not be in the will of God and all this kind of stuff. Acts chapter 27 is going to deal with that a little. I have preached on this portion of scripture before, but I'm doing it in a completely different way and not in depth about what happened in Acts 27, but applying things to our own life this morning. Acts chapter 27, verse 21 talks about Paul. Of course, he devoted his life to preaching the gospel, and he wanted to get to the big man in the world, Caesar. They were under the Roman Empire, and he wanted Caesar to get saved, at least be exposed to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he set his whole life to get to Caesar. And he couldn't get there until he was arrested. He was arrested for preaching. He said, "That's my way." Because he was a Roman citizen before he got saved. And so they treated him completely different than other prisoners and so forth. And so here he's on a ship going to Rome. But a storm comes. If you remember me preaching about this before. And we find it here in Acts chapter 27. We'll pick some verses out of here. Acts 27 verse 21. But it says, "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss." In other words, they're here in the middle of a hurricane. You see in verse 14, a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. That's the name of the hurricane. And Paul said, we better not go out in this. And the captain of the ship says, no, that's fine. It'll blow over and everything will be fine. Now, it sure was. The whole ship was coming apart and they were going to be stranded. And that's why Paul said, you should have listened to me. I told you so. Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Problems would come. Here's Paul. He's already bound. He's a prisoner. He couldn't do anything about it. He's on this ship. And he knew it was going to happen. But everybody wanted to follow the captain of the ship, you know. Well, he's just a preacher. He doesn't know nothing about anything. Yeah, he knows everything about this. But they found out the hard way. And so here they are in a shipwreck of what's going. He says, be of good cheer in the situation that they're in. They're thinking, boy, we got a big problem. You got a bigger problem because you didn't listen to God. God tried to warn him. Paul's angel. You know everybody has a guardian angel that taught you. And so forth. So when you go through life, that same thing's happening to you. God's trying to guide you and lead you in your life. Now they got fear. Now they got a storm. Look in verse 24. And this angel that he's talking about, he says, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. All of those different words that he said there, he's giving everybody that shipwrecked with him. I mean, the whole hinder part of the ship is gone. The bow came into land and stuck. And so finally, the wind beating it back and forth, the whole hinder part of the ship is gone. They've got wood floating around and everything else. Right in the middle of this, he tells them to have peace. He gives them a promise. And then the presence of God. Let's look at those this morning. There in verse 26, there's peace. Howbeit, we must cast upon a certain island. To get out of this, the angel is saying, you need to get on a certain island. Do you think that island was already prepared? That God knew what was going to happen to Paul and the rest of these? A certain island. God will always have a certain island for you. Remember that through life, you're going to go through some different kinds of shipwrecks within your life. You're going to have things that'll completely control your life. And so you have to watch from that. So he gave peace in verse 26. It's a how be it. You see verse 26? Circle that word, how be it. Because there's always going to be a how be it. And there's always going to be a certain island where God will take care of you in whatever situation that you get into. And you know, no matter what trial or problem comes into your life, if you're truly saved, you can't lose it. No matter how bad it gets in your life or your family or marriage, you will never lose your salvation. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Salvation didn't have anything to do with you. It had everything to do with the Lord. He's the author of your salvation. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord, the Bible says over and over again. So you can't lose it either. You had nothing to do with getting it. All you did was believe the thing that has already been done for you. And so you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Romans, you're more than conquerors. And so you can have peace as you're going through whatever you're going to go through in the future. So I'm preaching this to you, knowing that things in the future you're going to run into. Why? Because it's life. The Apostle Paul, the most powerful guy as a Christian. I mean, you remember Eutychus? Paul was a Baptist, I guess. He preached until midnight. Remember that in the book of Acts? He was still going on and preaching. It was midnight, and Eutychus, he was, and they were way up on the second floor. And Eutychus fell asleep and fell off of the balcony, fell off the roof, and fell down and dead. He's dead. Paul went down there and resurrected him. Wow. The Apostle Paul. You talk about powerful. You talk about close to God. I mean, when he was out preaching there, they also stoned him and killed him with stoning. And he resurrected himself and continued on. You talk about a powerful man, a powerful man of God. That's why he was so persistent. Didn't matter what he had to go through. He didn't care about his body or anything else. He had to take the message to Caesar. So he went through all of this because of that. And he had peace doing it. And he gave peace to the other people that were going through this with him. What a great testimony. I'm afraid a lot of Christians aren't good testimonies to others. They act like an unsaved world. And so here he had peace rather than fear. He got rid of all of that so that he could be of help to other people. The second thing is not only peace, but promises. He got the promises from the Word of God. And it says here that he had a promise, verse 22. I exhort you, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but for the ship. Why? Because there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am to save, saying, fear not. Well, that's important, isn't it? Don't be fearful when you're going through things. Don't go be fearful going through life. Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. That's a promise, amen? So not only will God give you peace going through whatever you're going to go through, but he's going to do it when you're standing on the promises that he gives you. You understand that the only reason you know for sure you're saved because of the promise that Jesus Christ gave you. Amen. You believe on me, you have eternal life. Salvation can be no simpler than that. Even a child can understand that and put their faith in Jesus Christ and be saved at an early age. Some do. Some make false professions, and later in their life they get saved. All kinds of things go on, but God makes it so simple that anybody can get saved. That means your enemy can get saved. That means your neighbor, you even know your neighbor's name. You ever met them? You ever tried to give the gospel to them? Well, the gospel is so simple that they can get saved too. We need to have that kind of thing within our heart, that we care about our neighbor. Isn't that what Jesus said? He says there's two things you got to get. First of all, you love the Lord with all your heart, mind, strength, soul, and then your neighbor as yourself. And so, what are you doing about your neighbor? And then he gave the parable of the Good Samaritan to point out that anybody is your neighbor. Even a Samaritan. One, the Jews hated Samaritans. But the Good Samaritan is the one that stopped and helped the Jew that was beaten up by robbers and so forth. It was all to point out, everybody's your neighbor. Care about people. Stand upon the promises. He gave peace to these people that were with him, and he also gave the promises. The word came from God. You know, just because you're saved and living right for God and everything else doesn't exempt you from going through storms in life. You will have storms. You will have testings. God tests his servants. A lot of times we've got to go through things. Things we don't like at all, but God's testing us. He wants to see how much you really do love him. And so, here he was on the boat. But everybody else on the boat was telling him everything different. That we're done. He wasn't going to listen to anybody else but God. And so that's what Paul did. He listened to only God and the will of God for him. Like I say, being in the will of God will not keep you from the maladies and storms of life. Was the devil really active in your life before you got saved? You didn't have so much trouble with the devil, did you? Because you were already lost. He didn't have to mess with you at all. You were going to ruin your life all by yourself. But when you got saved, brother, you found out you were a Christian soldier. You were in a battle. You made the devil your enemy. And the devil would always be there to influence you, have you turn away from the things of God. So the devil is more active even in your life now that you're saved than before. And guess what? You're not going to outsmart the devil. The devil started this whole thing back in the Garden of Eden. He was more subtle than anyone, more deceitful than anyone, and he still is. You know what the devil is? He knows the Bible. When he went to tempt Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, he was quoting scripture. Yeah. Jesus gave the right context of the scripture to answer him, to defeat him. That's how important interpretation is. And that's what cults do out here as well. They'll use verses out of context. But that's the way you fight that. You got to know the context so you can give the right interpretation of it. But that's how cults work as well. So the devil knows more Bible than you do is the whole thing. You've got to rely on the Lord to guide and lead you even while you're in the storm. Paul's intention was good. He was also wise. He didn't want to be out in that ship because he knew this was going to come. The angel told him, but nobody listened. You're going to find that in your life too. Some dummy that's in charge, whether it be your boss at work or a president or anything else, they'll do something and put you in jeopardy. And because they have the power to do it. The devil's using them in that way. You know, we're only pilgrims down here. We're walking through this life. You're going to find out, you know, you're young now. Before you know it, you're going to turn around and all of a sudden you're 80 years old. Jane, Betty, all of these. I'm 79. I'm looking 80 in the face. I can still remember what I was doing when I was your age. Where did all those years go? Boom. You had the trials and things that Mrs. Drake and I have gone through down through the years. God was always there to comfort her. And keep her straightened out as well. And he's always there because the storms will come. No one's sinless for sure. Yeah. But there's always going to be a how be it. Everything was fine except for when the storm came. How be it, we just read. There was a certain island, and he said, you got to go to the certain island. We love the hallelujahs, but we don't love the howbeits in our life. The devil's fighting. But many times, God changes that storm, that problem that you're having in your life, that trial. And I mean, it's going to go deep. It'll break your heart. Some of the things that happen to good Christians through their life. I remember Tom Williams and what happened in his life. I mean, things that just tear your heart right out of your chest, but he's still preaching. He's near 90. He just emailed me last week. He's still preaching to churches and so forth. But the devil's always going to fight you. But did it ever dawn on you that God is going to use that as an avenue to you to get your eyes off of yourself and get your eyes on God? Because even Christians, they just live for themselves. They don't care about what God really wants, just as long as they're okay. Everything's about you. It's a terrible situation to be in, but God will use these kind of things. He doesn't bring these things in, but in the course of life, you're going to find the problems. You're going to find these trials that will come. But the whole good, positive thing is that God is always there. It's a good thing where you come to the end of yourself and you're on your knees and you're weeping and you're saying, God, I can't. And realize that God did it, not you. When God gives you the answer, when God gives you the victory over that problem, that trial, works in your heart, so forth, get you closer to the Lord, you can't say it was because of you. You have to say it was God that did that. And that's what he wants. He wants you to realize who God really is and that he's the one that can do things when you can't. You know, in the Bible it talks about gold. And then it talks about pure gold. They would take, if you wanted pure gold, you had to take it and boil it. You had to get it so hot, so long, that it would boil and bubble and everything else. And then there would be this kind of foam that comes up to the top. And you'd have to take a stick or something and take that off of that kettle or whatever you were using. And you keep on boiling that gold over and over again. You keep on taking the dross off. Until there wasn't any more, then you had pure gold. That's what God does with us. He allows this. He allows these things into our life to refine us. God is the refiner. He's the divine refiner in your life. So you can be conformed to the image of his Son. Everybody understand you're not what you should be today. But praise God you aren't what you used to be. And also praise God you're not what you will be in the future. As God allows you to go through these things to refine you so we can use you even more. Go to verse 42 here in our text. Verse 42, it says, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they should they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to the land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all save to land. Remember that certain island? There it was. God was overwatching Paul. He was a prisoner. And the one in charge of the prisoner said, well, they're going to escape. Let's just kill them all now. And Paul said, will you listen to me this time? Let us get to land. We will not run away. It's the same thing you find in Acts chapter 16 with the Philippian jailer. The jailer wanted to kill himself because he thought that the prisoners had escaped. But he said, do yourself no harm. We're all here. Amen. Paul wasn't listening to others. He was listening to what God said. Who remembers what 2 Timothy 3:12 says? All that live godly shall suffer persecution. You're going to live a godly life for the Lord. You're not going to escape problems within your life. You'll be persecuted for what you believe. Great men of God have lived and gone through the trials and the storms of life as well. Who is the greatest man on earth according to the Lord Jesus while he was here? Who did he say was the greatest of all? John the Baptist. You remember that? There hasn't been a greater that was born of women that was John the Baptist. My, what a man John the Baptist was. In John 1:6 it says, there was a man sent from God, and his name was John. What a blessing. Go to Luke chapter 1. Keep your place here, but go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 15. Started right with his mother and in the womb. This is all talking about John here in Luke chapter 1. And it says, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Boy, you talk about a great man. Nobody's ever had that in their life, that they were filled with the Holy Ghost even before he was born. And sure enough, that's what the angel told Elizabeth, his mother, that this was going to happen. Now, Elizabeth had a cousin. Guess who Elizabeth's cousin's name is? Mary. The mother of Jesus. Look at verse 41. When Mary came to visit her, it says, and it came to pass, and when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. So here, that baby in the womb, John the Baptist, when Mary told her what the angel said to her, that the Lord Jesus was going to be born of him, of her, John the Baptist leaped in Elizabeth's womb. I mean, he was all on fire right from the get-go, even before he was born. What happened to this great man, John the Baptist? He got locked up. Because he spoke out against Herod, King Herod, at the birthday party for the king. Because he had committed adultery. He had his brother's wife. And so Herod had to put him in a dungeon, and finally, because of the dance of the granddaughter that John the Baptist had to be cut off. That's the island that God gave John, and he was the greatest of all. He even had doubts about the Lord. In Matthew 11:3, it says, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Jesus said he was the greatest one that was ever born of woman. But even he had doubts. The devil gets on your shoulder when you're going through a storm. When you got trials coming and everybody's against you. Even the greatest man that lived, John the Baptist, at that time, he had that. So don't think that you're above it. All of these great men that I'm talking about, they had things happen to them. How about Job? Go to Job chapter 23, if you would. The book of Job chapter 23. Just before Psalm. Job chapter 23, and in verse 10, what did Job say when he lost everything? Job 23:10, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." They're talking about that refining again. He realized that God was using all of this in his life. He hated it. He didn't want to go through a trial. He didn't want to lose his whole family. He didn't want his wife all upset and ranting and raving. But that's what happened. Look at chapter 19, Job 19, verse 25. He says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Amen. He was a man of faith. But he still lost everything. Why do you think you're going to just breeze through life? When you have trials and tribulations, it doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. Nobody can judge that. I mean, he was right with God. The Bible tells you in the first beginning of Job. He was a just man. He eschewed evil. He stayed away from evil. And in a 24-hour period, he lost everything. All of his riches, his cattle, his family. You're only one phone call away from getting news that your life is going to change forever. Welcome to life. Welcome to being a Christian. I mean, Job did everything right. But the devil will continue to fight on. And God will always turn it around to be a blessing at the end. Read the end of Job. He was blessed twice. But he should be. How about Elijah in 1 Kings 18? We won't have you go to those, but just think of that. You've already learned this. Elijah, and when he went against those priests of Baal on Mount Carmel, and he called down fire from heaven. You talk about a man that's close to God and that he's in the will of God. But when Jezebel threatened him, he ran like a little schoolboy. Amazing how things can turn around. He was a powerful man. Elijah said, "Rain no more." All he had to do was say the word, and there wasn't rain for years. And then when he said, okay, rain, come, and it came. Anybody know anybody that can do that? No, I guess not. But look at what happened to Elijah. All the way through his life. John the Beloved. Not John the Baptist, but John, the one that wrote the Gospel of John. Go to that. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. John 13 verse 23. He says, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Was there anybody closer than John to the Lord Jesus Christ? No. He was the beloved one. I mean, he's the one that Jesus said at the crucifixion, behold, thy mother. In other words, he trusted John so much above everybody else to take care of his mother, Mother Mary, as he was dying. What happened to John? He was boiled in tar. They thought that would kill him. It didn't. But there was an island called Patmos where they took all of the criminals, the murderers, and everybody else, and put them on that island, and they put John on it. They say, he isn't going to last long. And that's where God opened up the heavens. In Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 10, it talks about it. In chapter 4 and verse 1 of Revelation, it says, come up hither. Picture of the rapture. And John is the author or the writer of the last book in the Bible, Revelation. And God, through this trial, if he was boiled in tar, brother, he must have looked a sight. All of his skin all shriveled up and so forth. But here God's using him to give us a picture of what heaven's like, what the future's going to be, the Antichrist, the 666, everything else, it's all shown to him. He saw the Christians up there casting their crowns at Jesus' feet. John saw and heard the singing that was going on. He saw the walls of jasper of heaven. What I'm pointing out to you is the greatest men that ever lived on the face of the earth went through trials and tribulations like you never have. But there was always an island. God always provided a place, a secret place for you to go during this time. And God always gets you through it, one way or another. Yes, you will suffer in this life. We don't look forward to it. But it's a fact. You're going to go through the storms of life. That's all there is to it. And then the last thing is the presence of God. Three P's. Amen. You had peace, you had the promises, and then you had the presence of God. Go back to Acts 27, we're going to close. Because this is the last point. If you don't have the presence of God, don't try to go through these things. I'll guarantee. Being a Christian isn't for sissies. You always have the presence of God with you. It says in chapter 27 of Acts there in verse 23. He says, "For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not." How important is that? "Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." Everything worked out. When they got to that island, they were trying to make a fire, and a venomous snake came out of the fire and bit Paul. But he didn't die of it, because there were others on that island, and they thought he was God because he didn't die of that. He could be a testimony and use that island to verify that he did belong to God. That would never happen if all of these other things didn't happen to him here in Acts chapter 27. Some tips for you. Going to get into a trial, a tribulation, a problem, a death in the family, whatever it is. Trials are always negative. Get used to it. They're in life, but God is the one that brings the positive into the negative and gives you the answer. Don't despair. When you get the biggie in your life, don't despair. Don't run. You'll be stronger after you go through what you're going to go through than you were before. Don't fear. Don't allow this thing to make you bitter. How do you do that? You put God into it. Remember, I told you God wants you to get your eyes off of yourself and get your eyes on God. Make sure God's in it, right in the middle of it. You don't quit, because the rescue boat is always coming. God has a way and a will to take care of his children, and he will. One last verse and we're done. Psalm chapter 55. The book of Psalm in chapter 55. Psalm 55 and in verse 22. It says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." You're going to have some burdens in your life. Things you don't even see today. You think this message doesn't apply to you. But you're going to find out how much it will apply to you. Stay close to God. Be unmovable. Be one that can come forth as gold, as Job said, because of all of it that happened. Howbeit, a certain island. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we've had to study your word, to be able to contemplate and meditate on the things in life. And Lord, we know that we're no better than these great men that are in the Bible that went through it. Help us to be prepared for it. Help us to be faithful to you, get closer to you. Lord, we are more than conquerors through Christ. Help us to realize it. Bless us as we go now. In Jesus' name, amen.